I tell you what, it is comforting to know, especially when we believe it, that he will be with us all the way. So, Dr. Cutchins, the challenge is, first of all, recognizing that it is not a matter of getting rid of either. We don't get rid of unity for the sake of diversity. We don't get rid of diversity for the sake of unity. The challenge is finding how to merge the two, how to flow with both of them so that we benefit as much as we can from unity and diversity.
Yeah, there's an ancient saying that's been around for a long time that a lot of theologians and philosophers have adopted, and the saying goes like this. It says, in the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. Let me say that again. In the essentials, unity. There's one of the words we're talking about. In the non-essentials, liberty, which could be a statement of diversity, but in all things, charity. So that is an interesting way of saying, look, there are certain things that are essential. That's the phrase. Mm-hmm. In the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And in the context of our conversation, I would change that and adapt it to what we were talking about. In the essentials, there has to be unity. In the non-essentials, diversity. So then that asks the question is, you know, what are the essentials?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What are the essentials? For example, you and I are sitting in a recording studio, and we're both talking into microphones. In order for this to happen, it's pretty essential that there be microphones.
That's right.
Now, what doesn't matter is what type of microphone it is, right? Now, it just so happens that you and I are looking down on the same type of microphones, mm-hmm. but I could have brought my own microphone and plugged it into the cable, and we could have had diversity in microphones, but the essential thing that we're doing, the essential aspect of what we're doing, the tool that we need, has to be there.
Yes.
So in every organization, again, you've got essentials to any organization, and I think in any type of thinking that you're doing, any field of thinking or, you know, professional life, there are certain things that are essential. I mean, liberty, as the saying goes, and the non-essentials. And I think the non-essentials and the areas where we can have liberty and diversity are some of the most interesting ones. Those are the ones where we actually get to express more of who we are in the context of the unity. So when I'm looking at an organization or even the church that I'm pastoring now, there are certain essentials about who I am as the leader that are really non-negotiable for the team that surrounds me. There are certain things that are non-negotiable. A person would not want to be on my team, for example, if they did not believe that the Bible was wholly true in all that it affirms. That would not be a warm environment, a working environment for someone who did not believe that, because that's one of my essentials, is that the Bible is true and all that it affirms. So like, if you don't believe that, that's not essential that you believe that for us to be friends. But if we're going to hold hands and try to work on the same a team and try to accomplish the same goals, that's one of those things for me that would be non-essential from a pastoral standpoint. Mm-hmm. In the classroom, if you're a teacher, for example, one of the non-essentials might be classroom management. It doesn't matter how you do classroom management, but if you don't manage your classroom, the education process is going to be severely interrupted. In business or in sales, for example, you know, sales folks, they'll talk a lot about having people in your funnel, people that you make a first call to, you know, and then you kind of work them through a system where they actually buy what you're selling. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not essential who those people are necessarily, but it is essential that there are those people that are in your funnel and that are actually moving. Because if you're a salesman and there's no one that you're selling something to, then the question is, are you a salesman at all? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If are you all hat and no cattle, if you will? And so my question, I think, with the essentials and the non-essentials is, who defines what the essentials are? Now, in ancient history, there's a lot of different aspects of how that's been done. In Christianity, for example, I know a lot of your audience is of the Christian faith. There are some essentials that unfolded kind of in some of the early creeds of the church in the first 500 years of church history, and are some of them are contained like in the Apostles' Creed. Today that's in different versions, but just to list off a couple of them, the idea of the fact that the humanity is depraved and needs God, the idea of Christ's virgin birth, the idea of Christ being sinless and a perfect expression of humanity and God together in one person. The fourth one comes from that, Christ being fully God. Christ's humanity is a part of that, fully God, fully man. The fact that God is unity and that he is one, but at the same time, another essential of the faith is that God is tri-unity. He's one what, but he's three who's. One God in three persons. That's an essential of the Christian faith historically and biblically. Another one is the necessity of God's grace in our life, the necessity of faith, the atoning work that Christ did on the cross and what that means. Christ's bodily resurrection is another one. Christ's bodily ascension. Christ presenting his high priestly service in heaven and preparing a place for us, and Christ's second coming, his judgment and his reign, heaven and hell. These are types of concepts that are some of the core that most evangelical Christians would find as essentials to the environments where they're doing their faith journey. So, you know, those essentials are ones that we really are non-negotiable. It's like Paul said, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then we're the most pitiful of all people. Yes. Paul himself yes. believed that the resurrection of Christ was an essential of our faith. You move that out of the way and everything else crumbles. Mm-hmm. But there are things in the Christian faith that are non-essential that there can be a lot of diversity on. Denominationalism is an example of that. A lot of the ideas that differentiate a Methodist from a Baptist, or a Baptist from a Presbyterian, or a Bible church non-denominational from a Pentecostal, you know, all these different things. A lot of these are non-essential aspects of the Christian faith, where we do see throughout history, church history, a lot of diversity in how people interpret those and live out those different aspects of the faith. But that doesn't mean that we're not in unity about the essentials. So when we get into cults mm-hmm. and deviations from Christianity, the definition of a cult is an organization that many times comes out of a religion like Christianity. Because other religions like Islam, they have cults as well. Because a cult is just, by definition, a deviation away from a world religion by dismissing one of the core essentials of that world religion. Does that make sense?
It does.
So if you, for example, if you step away from the resurrection of Christ or the deity of Christ and the humanity of Christ, then you really are stepping away from some of those essentials that really do unify all of the evangelic Christian fellowship. So unity in diversity is one of the core things, and I think that really necessitates a further conversation and a fleshing out of what is the essentials. What are the essentials, better said? What is it that is essential to the organization that I'm involved in?
And one of those essentials you mentioned,
yeah,
charity.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Love.
Oh.
When we come back, can we take a look at some of the reasons that we as Christians don't extend love to one another, and we allow some of these other non-essentials, or non-essential as it pertains to biblical doctrine, allow those to get in the way of our loving each other?
That'd be good, yeah.
Okay, stay with us.